Welcome to Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio, powered by The Barbershop. In this podcast, we'll bring you the latest insights and trends from industry leaders in advertising and marketing. Join us as we dive into discussions that shape the future of our industry.
Good morning, everybody. Thank you for joining us today. We're here to talk about how to harness creativity in the world of programmatic outdoor. My name is Maya Mulch. I am the director at DAX across our programmatic data strategy, transformation, and product teams. And I'm here with my esteemed panelists, which I'll let introduce themselves, starting with Rob on the end.
Hi, I'm Rob Dole. I work at Wavemaker UK, managing partner, specialism in out of home. Been in the industry now, specializing pretty much solely in out of home for over 20 years. So yeah, good to be here.
Hello, I'm Sean Ramsey. I'm General Manager of Business Development at The Trade Desk.
Hi, I'm Nicola. I'm Head of Programmatic at Talon. For those of you who don't know Talon, we are the largest independent out-of-home specialist agency, a nice catchy title. So we run all things kind of buying and planning out-of-home.
And I am Chloe. I am Commercial Director at DAX Outdoor.
Fabulous. So we have a great mix of experience on our panel today. And, you know, we're really here at the intersection of outdoor, which is known for its fame and stature and beautiful builds that make brands famous, as well as programmatic, which is the data-driven algorithmic decision-making around media channels. So before we start to talk about, you know, how these two might live together, let's take a look at some of the data behind the growth in outdoor and programmatic. And programmatic started with display, right? And over the past decade, that market has grown at a clip of 30 times. So it's a huge amount of growth. And digital display, where programmatic really began, worldwide is set to be $338 billion in 2024. And those estimates are about 85 to 95% of the digital display world. But contrast that with programmatic outdoor. We're still really in a nascent stage here. And in the UK, we're estimating between 3 to 6% of overall outdoor spend to be traded programmatically in outdoor. So there's a long road ahead, but I am imagining we'll move at a faster clip than previous channels because we've learned a lot from others. So with that in mind, let's take a look at how marketers are bringing creativity to programmatic outdoor. And Nicola, I might start with you on this one. How are you seeing brands across Talon really show that creativity in outdoor when it's traded through programmatic and automation?
Yeah, I think creativity in what is still quite a nascent medium, we kind of use the terms creativity and innovation quite interchangeably, that actually I think, you know, whilst we're seeing lots of kind of trigger-based buying, some really smart location call-outs or using various data feeds to kind of optimize copy in flight. What I'm actually really excited about is a lot of the data innovations kind of behind the scenes as well. That's where I think is the kind of the biggest opportunity and the most really creative work that we're seeing is how brands are utilizing potentially their own data signals to optimize their own buyers, either against their own sales data or to reach their audiences better and more efficiently. So really, I think that's the kind of the most powerful way in which we're seeing creativity being brought into the out-of-home world at the moment.
Great. And Rob, what about you? Your brand's at Wavemaker.
Yeah, it's definitely a growth area. I think more and more brands are, it was inevitable with the development of more and more digital screens that people would want to use them. And then, as Nicola has already said, overlaying data to really then create more relevancy, instancy with delivery of message, but also really underpinning how out of home can fully drive sales and, you know, really go after the e-commerce angle that in the past it's probably not been able to do. So yeah, it's gathering pace and the brands count is increasing rapidly, and it's quite nice that all different sectors are utilizing it from what they've done before and then overlaying creative to really get that message through to the right audience very, very, very targetedly.
Great. And Chloe, I'd love to hear from you. You've seen a lot of outdoor campaigns in your career. Are there any advertisers or specific examples that you can think of where a client has embraced programmatic outdoor, and talk us through a campaign that's really kind of impressed you?
So I instantly think of Boots. So they've embraced digital out of home when it launched decades ago, dating myself there as well. But what they've really done with programmatic is that they've embraced the data that can inform creativity there. So a really good example of it is what they've done in the airport space. So they actually ingest flight data. So who is going through that airport at that time in terms of where they are flying to. If they're flying to a city, City Break will advertise a meal deal. If they're flying to the Spanish coast, we'll advertise suntan lotion. And they've had real tangible results from doing that. So they saw over 30% uplift in sales following the 2 hours that they showed that creative. Now, that for me is where we need to start to reframe what creativity is when we're talking about it in programmatic outdoor terms, because we take for granted the fact that out of home has beautiful, huge creative canvases that we can all play with and put amazing images on to draw people's eyes in. But I think as a medium that's consumed passively, it's how you can be contextually relevant that's actually the exciting part for me. So Boots blow it out of the water for me.
Great. Sean, working at the Trade Desk, you know, you guys have been focusing on the growth of programmatic outdoor. Have you seen any creative examples that you want to share with us that have kind of come through the Trade Desk platform?
Yeah, loads. I think the advertisers that I think of the most are the ones that are able to mirror, I guess, the agility and the reactiveness of the consumer in the moment, right? So that's the great thing about outdoor. The consumer is on their way somewhere. They're going with a purpose. It's your opportunity to be additive to that purpose or to interrupt that purpose. And I think the brands that we've seen that have been really successful so far in programmatic outdoor are the ones that have looked at that, have taken the insight around what that consumer is doing, where they're going, and started to think about other data feeds in the real world and how they can be additive to that journey. So we've worked with taxi companies, for example, that are pulling in feeds around tube line status. We've worked with hair care brands that are looking at weather minute by minute and showing stuff, for example, thunderstorms at the weekend, antifreeze shampoo at that moment in time. And also being really careful about where they deploy that too, because as we know, it can be pouring down in East London, it can be dry as a bone in West London. And you want to make sure that your message resonates as much as possible. So it's those brands, I think, that have really started to look at that real world environment, thinking about that consumer mindset and then thinking, how can we be additive by adding additional data sets to the decisioning and the messaging that we show.
Sounds like there's a lot of creativity in how data is applied across programmatic outdoor. In terms of, you know, what lessons do we think that programmatic outdoor can learn from traditional outdoor? And Rob, I'm going to start with you with your, you know, multiple decades worth of experience in outdoor.
Thank you.
What lessons can you impart on this room here today?
I think Chloe touched on it already. Creativity is so important. I think that we are now able to touch people, in their day-to-day lives and impact with them. But you've still got to think about the nature of the creative that you're delivering. You know, this is one of the most creatively driven medias. It's existed for many, years now. And I think it will only get stronger by digital being able to, and specifically programmatic, to be able to really turn around and deliver a very targeted message. So it's almost all of the stars aligning, you know, the right place, the right time, the right audience with the right creative message to really add resonance to the campaign. So it's, for me, it's still the fundamentals of producing good copy that's relevant to the factor of where it's being delivered and at what time.
I agree. And I actually think one of the things that we are potentially in danger of as an industry is in sort of singing the praises of programmatic and trying to align ourselves with online and saying it's really, really easy to activate, which it is, and they're all great benefits, that we've done a really good job over the last few years, I would say, in kind of traditional out-of-home of stopping people sticking up a print ad onto their out-of-home screens. That's not the right way to use the medium. And potentially we're in danger of, as we've got, you know, new buyers into the landscape, which is a really positive thing, losing that kind of nuance that is really important for out of home and creating copy, to your point, that is right, not just for the audience, but for the context in which it's going to be viewed and for out of home screens as well. So I think whilst we can sort of champion the sort of the growth of programmatic and the introduction of out of home to brand new buyers across the industry, part of our role, everyone really on this panel, is ensuring that whilst we're advocating for that adoption, that we're also kind of continuing to drive the importance of out of home nuance as well.
And Chloe, any other kind of creative examples that you've come across that you think, you know, taking learnings from the traditional world, applying them in programmatic,
I mean, I'm really excited to see people embrace the context more. So I think we have such an opportunity for brands to be relevant to the masses. So everyone at the moment, and I think a lot of people yesterday, in a lot of the sessions, were talking about this balance between performance and brand, and that there's a bit of a performance plateau coming our way. So the fact that we've all been very focused since the pandemic, especially on driving those lower funnel metrics, because we have to get people to buy the stuff that we're selling, right? But when they get to that point of purchase, they need to know who the brand is. So we can't forget about the core brand message too. And so for me, the lesson there is that Pragmatic Out of Home is perfectly placed, right? We're outdoor, we drive brand better than anybody. Challenge me if you think not. And but with Pragmatic, we can start to refine it so that we can do the branding piece with all these wonderful, great, huge canvases, but we can refine it so that we're driving the kind of the really point of sale, all those kind of lower funnel metrics. So that for me is where the context comes in. So I think that's where we need to learn from maybe other medias, not just traditional out of home, to drive both the brand and that unique position that we're in to drive brand and performance at the same time.
And let's flip that on its head a little bit. Are there lessons that the traditional outdoor world can learn from what happens in programmatic? Nicola, I might pass that one over to you at Talon.
Yeah, I think so. I was actually on listening to a panel yesterday where they were speaking about, you know, it was James Appleby from Assembly, and he was speaking about in traditional out of home, there's still a hell of a lot of sort of manual interference based on really opinion, preference, and sort of legacy behaviours that a client might get a site list and say, I don't really like the look of that site, remove that one off. That's not really based on any science. It's just a feeling that they might not want to appear in that context. And that sort of stuff is still important. But I would like to see traditional out of home be a little bit more kind of happy to rely on the data, more so than it has done previously. I think we're a very old school medium that is kind of really built on these legacy behaviours of, I bought 1,000 six sheets last year and it worked really well for me, so I'm going to repeat that booking again this year. And that's not necessarily founded on much science, that is necessarily the best way to be activating. So I think, you know, every single other channel operates and trades on audience. A lot of out of home traditionally is still trading on a panel buy. So I'd like to see more of a shift towards audience first planning across, regardless of how it's being activated programmatically or not, to ensure that there's a bit more rigor, a bit more science. Because really, even as media practitioners, we can't possibly know everything there is to know about the people we're trying to reach. So I think having a little bit more trust in the data, being able to kind of take your hands off a little bit and let the data do the talking, I think could be really interesting.
I think one thing just to add to that Pragmatic does really well that we could do better from a traditional perspective as well is we learn from what is live. And Sean, you'll be able to speak to this better than I, but, you know, campaigns are optimized in real time based on what's happening and what we see going on Pragmatic platforms. Completing that loop more in the traditional sense, I think, as well, would be nice to see.
Yeah,
I would wholeheartedly agree with you. I think it was interesting what you were saying as well there, Nicola. Sometimes there's a tendency for programmatic folks to try and be the smartest people in the room and to shout three-letter acronyms and go, data, data, data. and you need to be doing more. And actually, out of home has been, I think as you said, Robert, a tremendously creative medium for quite some time. And really, what does programmatic bring to the game? It should be additive, right? It's sometimes with programmatic, I think the problem is it's almost like a religion. You either believe in it or you don't. And like, oh, we do programmatic. We don't do programmatic. I don't believe. And I think we need to get away from that a little bit. And certainly as we approach digital out of home, like how can programmatic be additive? Exactly what you were saying there, Chloe, like how can we close the loop? I think there's a really interesting thing as well about not just looking at out of home, but also what else can programmatic bring to the game? The fact that, as you referenced, Maya, so many other channels have made that switch already. And by being able to bring digital out of home into the mix there as well, I think you have what you have mentioned there, Chloe, you have the ability to kind of square the circle and this sort of virtuous circle of data in, planning, buying, insight out, back into the start again. It's something that you know, we're starting to see advertisers really realize now. But I think it's going to be on a case-by-case basis. It's not a broad, let's do programmatic. It's going to be very specifically, what are the data points that are most interesting for us and that are going to make us able to resonate with the consumer?
Great. So on that note, I'm going to start with Sean on this one. What would you say, and what does the Trade Desk say to the market on what are the benefits of running your outdoor campaigns through a programmatic platform like the Trade Desk's DSP?
I think it really comes down to matching the, you know, that agility and reactiveness of the consumer. Why wouldn't you want to do that? You know, if you think about the way that consumers interact with out-of-home, again, that they are going about their daily lives. There is a purpose. There is something that they're looking to achieve at that point in time. Why wouldn't you want to have the same level of agility and flexibility about the way that you deploy your media, whether it be the messaging in that instance in time, whether it be that you might want to upweight a particular geo because you're not hitting them with your TV buys or your audio buys, or whether you just want sort of fluidity of budget and be creative in terms of the way that you're trading. I think there's a number of different sort of applications of that, but at the heart of it comes down to really that agility and reactiveness and matching what the consumer is doing.
Nicola, anything to add from the Talon kind of perspective across both, you know, the traditional side and you lead up the programmatic side?
Yeah, I think we've had to be particularly, I'd say, like, robust in understanding what the role is for programmatic on plans, where we're planning and buying out-of-home campaigns across multiple different sort of access points. For us, we have been trading programmatically, obviously, for a few years now, and we've been able to conduct a bit of a sort of meta-analysis, I suppose, and some benchmarks work to understand exactly the role for programmatic on a plan versus a traditionally bought campaign. And really what we found is that programmatic has a role to play kind of mid to bottom funnel. So to your point, if you're taking those larger scale audiences and funneling them towards some sort of action, that's where we would propose programmatic on a plan. We would very rarely to never suggest that programmatic should be bought if your objectives are brand awareness, large scale fame. That's really a job for a traditionally bought campaign. But to Sean's point earlier, programmatic is then additive to that sort of campaign. So you've got a really strong base layer of a traditionally bought campaign, and then you're maybe taking those audiences, honing in on what they're doing, being more relevant to drive them towards some sort of action. I think McDonald's are probably the best example of a client who does that really, really well. They out of home is pretty much their bread and butter of a lot of their activity. They lay activity down up to 2 years in advance. They have a very kind of robust base layer plan of broadcast activity. But then they really understand the benefits of using this agile route to activate in moments where it's hot to shout about McFlurries, for example. That's a really nice use case for a brand where it's not the sole reason that they're utilizing out of home. But again, it's additive to sort of what they're doing.
I suppose that kind of runs a bit of a risk that programmatic is getting pigeonholed in sort of the direct response or lower funnel metrics. I mean, Chloe, have you seen anything that would maybe push the boundary out in terms of brand building, fame, creativity across stacks?
I feel like you've set me up really well because we only have one slide, but we have just alongside the Trade Desk release the capability of 3D anamorphic programmatically. So I think that we've actually got an example that we can show you, which is just our logo. But this is something that is really, really exciting, right? Because it's creativity at its very core. It's what we actually think of as creative, right? It's in your face. It's like makes you kind of turn around and look again, like, oh, was that logo actually coming out the screen at me? But the ability to then be really precise and to flex that however you need to, I think is kind of maybe in antithesis to what we've been talking about so far on the panel, less so kind of bottom funnel and all about the data. Actually, we can still be really classically creative and activate it programmatically. So
Cool. I love that example. I think it's a interesting kind of new way of thinking about how to run programmatic.
Yeah, I do think as well that there is a job for programmatic and upper funnel as well. And actually, there's a couple of advertisers that we're working with at the moment, and I sort of referenced this in one of my earlier answers. They've looked at their TV reach and seen where there's deficiencies in certain geos, and they've been able to upweight the brand messaging or the upper funnel through programmatic out of home. So I do understand that a lot of the entry points will be, how can we be granular with the targeting? How can we look at response? But there's some really creative things I think you can do up a funnel as well, particularly in tandem with other medium.
I think there's something to be said for the contextual delivery of a campaign, because we hardwire to look for storytelling. That, you know, there's lots of neuroscience campaigns that have demonstrated this. So I suppose when we see an ad which we feel that's quite clever, even on a subconscious level, it's being advertised to me, probably as the right consumer at the right time, I think in its way that does develop a brand. Yeah, I'm a firm believer, as the rest of the panel said, that the best out-of-home campaigns will combine both. We'll have a level of core out-of-home, and then we'll utilise programmatic to either tell a story, deliver a right trigger at the right time, or alternatively do some stuff cleverly with first-party data to underpin sales uplift. But I think there is still an amalgamation of both, but it can do a brand job, yes.
Any other benefits anybody wants to add to running programmatic? Cool. Well, let's shift gears a little bit and talk about something that's been in the press over the past year or so, and discuss, you know, what is more impactful, having your creative build in real life or the kind of superimposed fake outdoor adverts that, you know, make their rounds on social media. And, you know, really, let's discuss our points of view on this and what you think that impact on brand perception is for consumers when there's, you know, the IRL versus online experience. Rob, I'm going to start with you on this one.
Cool. I think, I'm a firm believer that in real life has its weight. There was a study that my friends at GroupM Out of Home did that demonstrated that a lot of consumers were shown an ad, and 44% of them, when they found out it was fake, their opinion of that brand dipped. Whereas 46%, when they found out it was actually done in real life, their perception of the brand increased. I think that even went to just under 60% for 18 to 34-year-olds. So I think there's something to be said for, I'm not against innovation, and some of these, you know, activations we've seen are amazing, but we have to ask ourselves where they actually exist. Is it a campaign produced for social? Or is it something that we have to be very mindful as well about overlaying CGI or whatever we're going to call it. I have a bit of a problem with fake because it sounds negative connotations. But I think the fact remains is that if you are utilizing something in real life, a good quality site, a special build, an experiential activation, and it's an overlay, it only adds to the experience of the consumer. And that's a positive thing. They're not left slightly cheated maybe by something they thought was real, have shared with their friends, and then been told, ha, no, that didn't exist. So I think, yeah, in real life for me is still the way to go at the beginning.
I think it's really flattering for our medium, though, that, you know, another channel is using our channel to get shared across the social media. Like, how flattering is that? But I also think at the same time, you don't see celebrities taking pictures of themselves looking at their phones when they're, you know, on a mobile campaign or whatever it might be. But you do see celebrities taking pictures of themselves in front of billboards and buses and wherever else their outdoor campaigns might be featured. And so I think, to Rob's point, you can't be in real life, but I think it's extremely flattering that other channels want to use our medium as the canvas.
Yeah. Nicola, anything to add on that one?
Yeah, I think those ideas go viral because they're a great idea, fundamentally. But again, to Rob's point, there is a huge amount of fatigue, I think, around those now. And, you know, consumers have never been more savvy. Maybe a bad example, but I feel like now every time one of the royal family posts a picture, there's a flurry of comments underneath trying to figure out if it's real or not. And I'd sort of put this in the similar bucket, right? That we're now maybe in our silly little media LinkedIn world, we're looking at those photos and going, is that real? Does that feel real or not? And as you say, consumer sentiment absolutely plummets when they realise it's fake. But I think anyone can come up with a good idea, but really it takes a very brave brand to stand by that idea, put money behind it, have it activate in the real world and live on for, you know, beyond that 3-second video that you might see scrolling through your LinkedIn. And I think that credibility will stand the test of time more so than a sort of faux, fake, whatever you want to call it, out of home ad that is sort of born to live on social and really probably appeal to most of us in the room more than it is actually real consumers.
Cool. So it sounds like being credible and making sure that there's kind of not a disingenuous portrayal is important here.
Yeah. I mean, what we're trying to do is create a connection with someone.
Yeah.
Right. That's what all of this boils down to, creating a connection with someone. And I think that, or the sort of the fake, if it were, route is sort of an interesting stimulus for creativity, because the more that takes hold, the more you get clues as to how people are sort of perceiving your brand or what they're into, and they're reacting in either a positive or negative way. So I think it can absolutely feed into the real world. But when it comes down to it, are you creating that connection? It's sort of a second-hand share of a thing. It's a bit like when you go come into the office in the morning and the person sitting next to you has been to a comedy show the night before and tries to retell you the joke. It's just not as funny, is it? It just doesn't work. That's my personal feeling about the way these things are shared. But I think directionally, from a creative point of view, it's quite interesting.
Great. 30 seconds each. What is next in the world of programmatic outdoor and creativity? Chloe, I'll start with you.
Well, I think it was Rory Sutherland yesterday was talking about the fact that quite often people who don't work in the world of creative will create an idea and then they will pass it by the creative partners to make sure that it stands the test of time. And I think for me, it's the fact that we now have that power. So we were creative at our very heart, at our very core, but we can now apply totally different techniques to repurpose what creative actually means in the world of out of home, which I think for a medium that's been around for hundreds of years is an exciting place to be.
Nicola, what's next?
In a word, growth, I hope.
Yeah.
It's tried and tested. It's not that new anymore. And I would really hope to see more brands not approaching it on so much of a test and learn now, but actually it's working for you and commit to it long term. And sort of, you don't really have to be brave to really be committing to it anymore, because as I say, it's working and we're proving it. So growth.
Sean?
I think sort of coming into the programmatic family, I think retail is an interesting thing. We haven't talked about that, but how you bring in retail media data sets, and there's a question on here that we're not going to get to, but about how you tie everything back to footfall in store or online. So I think that's going to be a really interesting area for the next year.
To measurement, yeah. All right, Rob.
18 seconds. I think speed, quite frankly. I think the fact is that I think as technology increases, more and more screens in the marketplace, the window from having a concept and then getting it onto the streets will decrease. I think it will continue to decrease. So from that point of view, it really is tapping into things that are happening in society and being able to then deliver that with a brand, which is really going to resonate.
Amazing. Lovely. That is all the time we have today, but thank you all so much. I hope you learned something about the world of programmatic outdoor and creativity, and thank you.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Advertising Week Europe 2024 in audio. Stay connected with us on social media using the handle @AdvertisingWeek, and visit our website europe.advertisingweek.com for more exclusive content. This podcast was produced by Podcander, the audio conference solution.